This podcast is brought to you by Aspers Casino Newcastle, home of the Mag's £4 pint, available on all draft beers for all NUFC home and televised games, 12 p.m. to 12 a.m. Over 18s only, visit begambleaware.org, be drinkaware. For details and T's and C's, visit aspersnewcastle.co.uk. Are you, like Newcastle United, one of those who all you do is win? Every single day, no matter what? Well, if you want to win at running your own business, it's time to draft Shopify as your all-in-one commerce platform. Forget the off-season work. Shopify makes it simple to sell to anyone from anywhere. Whether you're selling warm-ups or wall hangers, it's time to start selling with Shopify and join the platform simplifying commerce for millions of businesses worldwide. With Shopify, you'll customize your online store to your brand, discover new customers, and build the relationships that create diehard fans. Shopify fields all the sales channels to grow a winning business, from an in-person POS system to an all-in-one e-commerce platform, even across social media platforms like TikTok, Facebook, and Instagram. And thanks to 24/7 support and free on-demand business courses, Shopify is on your team every step of the way. It's how every minute new sellers around the world score their first sale with Shopify, and you can too. Shopify is the secret to becoming a business champion by making it simple for anyone to sell their products anywhere, taking the guesswork out of selling. When you're ready to take your winning ideas into the world, team up with Shopify, the commerce platform powering millions of businesses down the street and around the globe. Try out Shopify for free today and start selling anywhere. This is a possibility powered by Shopify. Sign up for a free trial at shopify.com/truefaith, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/truefaith to start selling online today. That's shopify.com/truefaith. It's your True Faith Newcastle United podcast, and Newcastle have lost to Chelsea away at Stamford Bridge 3-2. I'm Charlotte, joined by Si, John and Ben this evening, post-game, immediately post-game, to bring you our analysis. Spoiler alert, it's probably not going to be that upbeat, because that was one of the worst performances I've seen us put in against a pretty shit side in a very long time. We made Chelsea look absolutely excellent there, and I don't think they are. I don't think they are excellent. I think they have some good players. I think that they are a decent team, but you could say the same about us, and we just did not turn up tonight. Si, is it time that we seriously question what's going on in the halftime? I don't know if you listening or watching at home were watching on Sky, but the pundits were flabbergasted that we had reverted back to this sort of high press attempt, particularly when Chelsea can't deal with a counter-attacking football, particularly at home. What is going on?
It's a lot of a question there. Yeah, okay. No, I don't think it's time to start asking serious questions of the manager. I think he's tried something today. I thought, to be honest, I was quite pleased with the press, and I thought this is really good to see that we're up for it again, that we've got players lining up around their box. And early on, Chelsea had no idea what to do with it. So in that sense, we caught them off guard instead of just doing what people expect us to do and to sit off and play that counter-attacking game. We went for them early doors, and that's okay. What let us down and what this game highlighted is something that we've been talking about for weeks, and that is we don't have the quality at the minute in this squad to execute that kind of thing. So we were pressing them back and getting the ball back, but the ball was coming like Dan Burn and Sean Longstaff, and they were either just kicking it out of play or just running into trouble. So yes, it was quite effective early doors, getting the ball back high in their half, but it was never landing to the right players, and we just didn't really make anything of it before they then scored their stupid first goal, which did have an element of fortune to it. So it's easy to sit here and judge the approach. And you know what, as the game went on, it just felt bonkers. It was like basketball. It was kind of like end to end. We couldn't defend. They couldn't either, but we just didn't have the quality to punish them. Whereas they do have quality players. They've got some world-class £100 million footballers, and we have a lack of that. We've got, and I'm not necessarily getting at these lads, they're just limited in what they have. We've got Dan Burn, we've got Sean Longstaff, we've got Miguel Almiron and Murphy on the wings for most of that game. Like, these aren't these aren't Champions League footballers. These are, you know, decent players who've served their time at Newcastle really well, but they don't have the quality to drag us through games like that or to get us from behind away at Chelsea. So as soon as that first goal went in, it was an uphill battle that I just don't think we could win. So there are issues, and there are issues in the approach in terms of, with the personnel we've got, why are we trying such blasé football when maybe we should just try and knuckle down and grind out a win in a different way. But I mean, I admire the ballsiness of what we try to do to begin with, but as soon as the first and second goal went in, it changed the complexion of that match entirely. And they both came early in the halves they came in, and it killed whatever the plan was. So it's very hard now to look at what the plan was, because it felt like as soon as the goal went in, both the first goal and then the second one after half time, we didn't know what to do about it. And then it became a bit mental and erratic and hard to watch.
I tend to agree that I was totally supportive of the press, and I thought that it was good to see us attacking a team at their place and giving them a bit of bother, basically. And you know, Chelsea, I think they haven't been great, but they've got very good players. And I think the issue we had is we defended really poorly, and it just felt like we made two or three mistakes every single goal. And you can't do that. And you know, Howe said it in his post-match presser, you can't make those mistakes and expect to win games. So I think if we defend better, you know, that approach probably pays off and we win. So it's really easy, as you say, to look at the whole approach and say it was wrong, and look at Wolves and say, well, you know, we played counter-attacking and that got us the win, and Chelsea have had issues countering that. But I think for that reason, Chelsea probably didn't expect us to go and press them, and that showed, didn't it, in that first half. And I was disappointed to be at 1-1 at half-time. I thought we probably could have been ahead at one point just because of the approach that we took. But we just need to defend better. And you know, Botman just looks a shadow of the player that he's been, and you know, that needs to turn around soon.
I think my issue with that is that it is fine and okay to play this press if you've got the bodies and the personnel and the kind of attitude to back it up. I don't think we have that in our squad. We've lost Joe Linton to injury, who was a big driving force of that kind of spicy, like nasty bastard shithousery attitude. And tonight it just looked like players who barely play with each other. There was very little cohesion. There was very little sort of trust in what was going on. And you can see that in the first goal. I think they just don't seem to know where each other are going to be. It just doesn't seem like, and I'm not saying they're not in training, but it doesn't seem like a well-drilled team. And that's the problem with playing that style against Chelsea tonight, who can cope with it if you're not like as buttoned up as possible. In addition, I almost think it sort of belies a bit of, like, I don't know if I'm just like, this is straight after the game, it's a bit of arrogance maybe, that that they'll not know how to deal with it and this will be fine, whereas we know from their performance this season they can't cope with it, or they can cope less well with counter-attacking football at home. I don't know, I've found it more frustrating than you did, that's all.
Yeah, it was infuriating for me. I think we played into Chelsea's hands tonight. I think we all saw it. They can't play out from the back. And I understand why we wanted to press them, because they play themselves into trouble, and they gave us the ball. As you say, they were giving us the ball in the final third on a number of occasions. But equally, as often as they were doing that, they were also splitting our whole midfield and attack in one pass. I just thought it was, I think you said before on the instant reaction, it was a gung-ho game. It was literally like two gunslingers going at each other, not kind of fully aware of their own weaknesses, but saying, fuck it, we're going to risk everything here to try and hurt you. And it was just mental. Like, we don't need to play like that. We didn't need to go to Stamford Bridge, where we haven't got a great record. Ultimately, against us, as everyone is playing to see, this is a Chelsea side that haven't got a great deal of quality, not particularly playing with great confidence. There's a lot of kind of uncertainty about their situation. we shouldn't be going there and kind of giving them a clear way out almost of that game. So I think the approach was, it's really annoying, because we've seen us go and play that way away from home and it not work on countless occasions against far worse sides, yeah, to be honest. And we've seen us play actually better with, as you say, kind of with the personnel that we've got available. We've gone at home to Wolves, but ultimately we've almost played it like an away game, and we've given Wolves kind of as much of the ball as they wanted, but we've stopped them being able to hurt us. And then we've just reverted away from that, which had worked. I mean, a 3-0 first clean sheet in God knows how long, and then we've gone and shipped three goals by, again, just throwing caution to the wind. And as you say, it's just putting players who are low in confidence out of form. It's putting them basically saying, right, Dan Byrne, Botman, Shaw, who none of them have got any particular great pace, have all had kind of shaky moments recently, and saying, right, go and shut down Cole Palmer, Jackson and Sterling, who are three of the fastest players kind of from an attacking point anyway. I just thought it was absolute madness to ask them to go up kind of one-on-one with those players, and it hurt us on a number of occasions. Obviously, we had the situation with Gordon, obviously, looked like he'd picked up an injury, but just didn't track their right back at any point. So again, you've got Dan Byrne basically facing two-on-ones, which is not what you want. Willock was playing this weird kind of free role in the first half, just didn't seem to be in our half at any point. Kind of, I don't know what the plan was with him, but he wasn't there to kind of track those runners. And I just think we basically played with fire and got burnt. And it was just, it's just frustrating, because we've seen a couple of good performances from this group of players, away to Villa and at home to Wolves in the last few weeks. But in the whole, we've not been playing particularly well, and we've been getting done by the same things. And yes, there's some individual errors there tonight that have obviously killed with, but they're being put in positions that they shouldn't be. And we're allowing teams to come and hurt us when they shouldn't be. You look at that second half, for large periods of that, when we sat in, we did sit in, it wasn't like we pressed all game. When we sat in, they didn't have a clue, they didn't have any answers. And it was only when the game then got stretched.
They still scored twice.
No, but it was when the game got stretched again that it is down to individual errors as well. But it's just a really frustrating approach that we've taken there. That I think that game should have been pretty comfortable tonight, to be honest. It was pretty clear we could have hurt them playing the way we did against Wolves tonight. I mean, their defence are a shambles. They play themselves into trouble. Cucurella is absolutely awful. And we just didn't get at them enough. And in fact, we've let them call Palmer, score and get an assist there. Jackson's obviously done well for the goal, but yeah, it's not good enough.
I think I understand the frustration, and I was frustrated watching the game as well. I'm not convinced that the way we played is why it happened. That there was some shocking individual errors and some shocking individual defending, and I don't think any of their goals actually came about from us being too far open and pressing. You know, it wasn't like there was a few times in the game where they kind of cut out the midfield with some passes, but they weren't the goals. The goals were like just crap defending. The first one is a shocking clearance where Dubravka should really just come and pick up the ball. That's killed with early on. The Palmer goal,
it's come from their right back and right winger, though, getting a 2-on-1 and getting the ball into the box.
Yeah, yes, but we had men back, though. I think one thing we did do, and I did notice it a lot, is even when Tino was pushed forward, they were back in quickly. We were back in if we lost the ball. I think that was the difference in terms of, right, if we're going to take some gambles here, everyone's back in. I thought we were back in. The weird thing about the Palmer goal is that he's in that gap between defence and midfield, but there was only like 2 yards of space. It's the fact that the pass was just to him, he's turned and shot, that it's the not reacting to that. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like we left him in loads of space. He actually wasn't in very much space at all. We should have had time to go and block him, and just nobody did. And then it was the same for the Mudrick one. It's just like, I don't really understand how no one's got near him. Mm-hmm. It's just like, it's just rubbish. I think Longstaff's lying on the floor. He comes across and Dubravka waits until the last second, then comes flying out. And it's like, if there's one player, just sit, stay on your line, he'll probably just kick it at you. Instead, he comes flying out, commits himself. Like, just so many things went wrong for the goals that weren't really to do with the style of play. It was just stupidity and errors.
Some crazy decisions.
That's kind of what Howe was getting after the game. And again, I'm not saying he's absolutely right in terms of the way we approach the game. I tend to agree, Ben, we could have played that far more conservatively. But the approach, as me and John said earlier, I think there was some merit in what we did, and you've described it as well. Like, they can't play out, and we were putting them in real danger. It was just the fact that the ball just kept landing to our players who don't have the quality. Longstaff is playing the worst football of his time here since Eddie Howe came, and you know how much that hurts me to say.
Yeah. But
the bloke just kind of kick a ball properly at the minute, and then Dan Byrne was getting the ball, making mistakes. Miggy gets the ball, he doesn't really like the quality of those players was exposed massively tonight, and that's a problem that I don't know what the solution is.
Well, the issue with that, though, is that is by design that those are the players that are there to mop up if they go along. So that's my issue with the situation, is that we've gone there knowing Isak, Miggy and Gordon pressing the back three aren't likely going to be the ones that win the ball back. It's going to be your Byrne, it's going to be your Longstaff. And that's the point, is that, yes, when they get the ball back, they look up, they haven't got a player that's open because they've all pushed on and they're basically outnumbered anyway ahead of them. So the ball either goes back or they dally on the ball and lose the ball. So I know what you're saying, but I just think we don't have the quality, as you said. We don't have the quality to take advantage of teams. We did last year when we bullied teams and it looks great. When you don't have them, I think it's naive to keep thinking that we're better than we are and that we're gonna go in kind of control games when we can't do it, and it just, and then we look bad. And two of the goals did come kind of on the counter attack when we've gone open. I mean, that the first one and the third one are where, as you say, people are having to bust a gut to get back in, so they're not kind of properly set. Yes, you can say it's a terrible, I mean, ultimately I think that first goal changes the game because we were actually on top,
yeah,
for that first 6 minutes or whatever it was. Not a great deal of things, but but that Botman clearance, as you say, and then, I mean, they get jammy. I mean, it's well played from Jackson, but it's a fluky goal, and it just changes the whole.
It's a scuffed shot that was going wide, and it just hits it.
And it just changes, but it doesn't make it any less frustrating.
I think sort of the question that will be asked in WhatsApp groups and on social media, I haven't looked too much on social media yet, is now of how. And I think we've broadly kind of tried to talk about that with the way we set up, and that obviously that decision sits with him and all of that stuff. There were a lot of individual errors tonight. You can't just say that's because Eddie Howe's not up to this as a manager. That's absolutely true. John, I guess I'll come to you just before we wrap up part one. And like, is it now time to wonder if he's up to it? Is this the time, or is it a case of tonight was a bit terrible, there were some really bad individual mistakes, some crazy decisions on the pitch, and we just need to let it go? Or have we run out of that string?
Yeah, I've still got trust in how I do, and I don't know how much that's blind faith, but I don't see who could
it's
go
true
in.
Faith.
It's true faith.
I saw the joke playing in your head there, and he's like, "Now I'm going to say it."
Yeah. Good lad. No, but it is, and he's, I think, you can't ignore what he's done over the last 2 years. And I think it's really quick to say that if there's an issue, it's come from the manager. And there were, you know, there was kamikaze defending from our lot for all three of their goals. And actually there was a fourth, which was like stopped on the line by Byrne, which, you know, which could have easily been gone the other way. So,
and there was that offside where they did actually score. Yeah. Botman fell over, so it could have been a lot worse.
And that's it. And you know, but that comes from, but for me, that doesn't come from us trying to press on the front. That comes from kamikaze defending and bad mistakes. I don't think that tonight is down to the manager solely. And similarly, if it is, you know, do you let a manager make a mistake in the game and move on with it? You know, I still think he's got a lot of credit in the bank personally. I certainly think that he starts next season. I think he gets the summer to do what he wants with the, you know, the Adidas money and whatever else. And there will be players going out. I think there's no doubt that
Bruno money.
Well, potentially, yeah. But you know, I mean, you know, we've talked about this already, haven't we, on previous pods? But I'd like to think, fingers crossed, he doesn't go this summer. But I think the likes of, you know, your Almirons, your Murphy, your Wilsons, your you know, the players that will link to go in January, I think, are the more likely to go in the summer, and that will enable you to then do what you need to do. And then if we're in a similar position come November, December, I think it's fair to start asking those questions. But I think given kind of what happened in January and maybe, you know, potentially the summer, I don't think it's fair to kind of ask that question just yet.
I think, the squad needs an overhaul, and I think Eddie Howe deserves a chance to do that because he's had so much to deal with this season. I mean, even tonight, we start the game without Pope, without Trippier, without Barnes, without Joe Linton, Tonali. I know it's getting a bit of a cop-out to include Tonali, but he is missing from that group of players. I've missed someone else, Wilson. You know, that's six key players still missing for this game. So he's having to come up with a plan to beat these teams every week with limited options and
he
having
hasn't
to,
yet.
You know, and yeah, he's found most of this year results, but yeah, I just think you've got to give him the benefit of the doubt. He's had so much to put up with this season, and that if he gets to the summer in some sort of respect, you know, it's going to get worse. I think Man City's going to make the season's going to be so bad, but I'm sure we'll get into that. It's just I totally agree. Credit is in the bank. I think the guy has worked wonders with the players he's had. Generally speaking, we're starting to see that quality return. You know, last year it seemed to be adrenaline alone got some of these players playing the best football of their lives, but that was never going to be that sustainable. They're playing far too much. There's so many caveats, and people are probably bored of us saying this on this podcast because we've talked about it so much, but those things are still true. They haven't just gone away. And I think you've got to continue to accept that this has just been one of those seasons where nothing is falling into place, whereas last season everything fell into place. So yeah, he's got work to do to prove he can continue to take us forward, but I think he can do it.
We'll leave it there. On a positive note for part one of the show, we will be back after these messages. If you don't want to hear any of these messages, please do join us on Patreon. It's between £3 and £8 a month for tons of additional brilliant content from us and other True Faith contributors. We'll be doing a lot of build-up up to the mountain game this week, and lots more to come. So please do consider joining us there. We'll be back for part two after this. Are you, like Newcastle United, one of those who all you do is win every single day, no matter what? Well, if you want to win at running your own business, it's time to draft Shopify as your all-in-one commerce platform. Forget the off-season work. Shopify makes it simple to sell to anyone from anywhere. Whether you're selling warm-ups or wall hangers, it's time to start selling with Shopify and join the platform simplifying commerce for millions of businesses worldwide. With Shopify, you'll customize your online store to your brand, discover new customers, and build the relationships that create diehard fans. Shopify fields all the sales channels to grow a winning business, from an in-person POS system to an all-in-one e-commerce platform, even across social media platforms like TikTok, Facebook, and Instagram. And thanks to 24/7 support and free on-demand business courses, Shopify is on your team every step of the way. It's how every minute new sellers around the world score their first sale with Shopify, and you can too. Shopify is the secret to becoming a business champion by making it simple for anyone to sell their products anywhere, taking the guesswork out of selling. When you're ready to take your winning ideas into the world, team up with Shopify, the commerce platform powering millions of businesses down the street and around the globe. Try out Shopify for free today and start selling anywhere. This is a possibility powered by Shopify. Sign up for a free trial at shopify.com/truefaith, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/truefaith to start selling online today. That's shopify.com/truefaith.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Part two of the show, and I think we should talk about team selection. We've kind of danced around it a little bit when we're talking about the way that we played tonight and the individual errors caused quite a few of the three goals. Wait, that's all of them. Let's talk about it. Some people are saying that Murphy had a pretty good game against Wolves, and yet he gets dropped for Almiron. That's kind of up in the air about that one, because Almiron was excellent when he came on against Wolves. So you can kind of see that logic, I think. Longstaff, you've managed to say, Si, that Longstaff had a terrible game, that he is playing some of the worst football of his life. He's picked again. We do have options in the midfield. I know not all of them are fully fit, but he's still picked again. He's probably the most out-of-form player on that pitch, and yet he's in the starting 11. I'm not going to ask you necessarily to explain why, but... explain why. Why?
It's because he's got a little fan club. And that feeds directly into the team selection policy.
All those letters you keep sending.
it's hard to explain because Longstaff definitely needs a break from that team. His form's dropped off a cliff. He looks like he's playing without any confidence. He's supposedly playing with some injuries as well, according to reports last week. So... why he's still playing is a bit of a mystery, but there's some logic behind it, of course, in terms of Miley was also desperate to come out of the team. You know, he'd had a great start, but he's not quite, you know, the finished article in terms of a Premier League midfielder. He doesn't really commit tackles. You're going away to Chelsea, they're going to have a lot of the ball in midfield. Longstaff playing like he did last season would have been right for it. The question is, Longstaff playing this season, his form's not going to turn around. He needs a break. He's sat in a midfield with a Bruno who can't make a tackle. With Willock, he's just back from injury, but as Ben said before, he's kind of floating much higher up the pitch. So there's a big ask on Longstaff to pull a big game out of his pocket, and he just didn't. And yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. Anderson's coming back in. He looked quite sharp when he came on. I think, it's competition for Longstaff, so he either needs to buck his ideas up or he just needs a break. I totally agree. I'm not going to sit here and defend Longstaff. I think... he's one of the main players I'm talking about, and I'm saying that the quality of our squad is being exposed a little bit. I think Longstaff works really hard. I think last season we saw the best of him just getting in people's faces and doing all the donkey work when the team was playing much well and much higher up the pitch. When the team plays a bit deeper, even though we were trying to press, so you'd still got a lot of work to do. If you pick the ball up on the halfway line, Sean Longstaff doesn't have the quality to make anything happen with that. So we rely too much on Bruno in that situation. And yeah, Willock was just a bit quiet today, so it didn't come together for him. The Murphy Almiron, I don't really see it. Lots of people saying, why did he Murphy's come on and played really well, and why didn't he start? You know, you can say the same thing every week. You literally can. Like, they're pretty much like for like players. Murphy's a bit more direct. He's gonna put crosses in and get shots off earlier. Miggy's probably got a little bit more flair about him, probably a bit quicker, a bit more running to
works
him.
Works harder defensively.
And covers a bit more. But in terms of one for the other, there's not really much between them. They've both got shocking stats. if you want to put it bluntly, you see, you just got to pick one of them. And obviously Barnes has found himself injured again, whereas he was probably working towards starting the game. So these are curveballs, by the way, to add to my point before the break, of stuff that Powell's just having to deal with. So they're not easy decisions, but yeah, team selection is starting to look easier and easier to question because just nothing seems to be working.
I think it's tricky as well because it all rolls up to this question about how, and I know we have kind of, you know, the majority opinion on this podcast is that there's still credit in the bank, but he's the one making those decisions, right?
He is. I think when Murphy came on as well, like, I was really impressed with his delivery of the ball. I didn't realise he had that in him in terms of his crossing. And I think it was a lot of crosses that were being delivered that were dangerous, that we weren't attacking, and I think that's probably the biggest issue that we had tonight. I think you talk about Anderson coming on, really he came on as a winger, and actually I think we're probably gonna have to rely on him in that position more, which then kind of condemns Longstaff to play in 90 minutes tonight. Now, it was interesting really how a 3-1 up, you know, he brings off Bruno, he brings off Willock, and at that stage I think our midfield probably looked like more cohesive than it had done, and it had like two kids like in the middle of the park. And I think that was just, you know, that just kind of reflected on night more than anything else. Just nothing was really kind of going right. And it needed something just different to give it a go. But it astounded me that Longstaff played the entire game because, I thought he was poor. I did.
And we all, the main thing that we all were kind of talking about before the game kicked off, wasn't it, Ben, was the fact that the bench was so thin. Like, it was a, you know, you look at that squad on paper and the first team and you think, it's a strong squad. That's a squad that could, you know, hurt Chelsea. But then you look at the bench and there really isn't a great deal there that you're confident Eddie Howe will at least use. But I think that the frustration also comes from the fact that he normally has a £38 million winger on the bench that he doesn't use anyway. So I looked at tonight's team selection and thought, perfect, fine. And then as the game wore on and all of these things are exposed, like Longstaff Botman, for example, I mean, the defence is all over the place. Botman looks like a shadow of himself. He was at fault for the first goal. I don't know what the answer. I don't know what the answer is. I'm looking for answers here.
I mean, it's a tough one, isn't it? I mean, I think he's showing a bit too much loyalty to players that he's got a lot of trust in. And I suppose it's almost like a mirror image of us and how almost it's like you don't. I agree. For obviously didn't say my piece on it, but I think he's got credit in the bank. But it's, I suppose he's sticking with players that he's achieved all of this with so far. And it's at what point does he kind of cut the cord almost and almost admit, yeah, these players need a rest. I mean, I think obviously Burn has been the one that everyone kind of was piling on earlier. And we saw him actually bring him out of the team and play Tino for one game.
At Arsenal.
Yeah. And it didn't work. And it was just, it's almost like he's almost too loyal to a fault really to players. But as you say, the other point of it is that what changes can he make realistically? I mean, let's be fair. I would probably still take Botman in the form he's in than Lascelles, because Lascelles cannot play the ball out. If we're going to try and play the ball out from the back, which we do, you have to play Botman and Shaw because they're the only two comfortable on the ball. If you're not going to play... I suppose if it's this question of do you stick with the system or change it? We've been calling in previous games anyway for him to maybe change things up. But... If we want to play with the ball, which we're trying to do, you've got to play Botman. So I'm not too... I don't want to be too critical of him because he hasn't got huge options. I think the big one for me was the Longstaff one where he has now got options. And we talked about this last week. And I think as well, to be fair to Longstaff, like you need saving from himself. He's obviously in a really poor run of form. He's not playing well. He's making poor mistakes now, kind of mental errors. He's constantly on the ground. Like, I don't know how he's... falls over all the time. There was a couple of chances today where he's fallen for, like, cheap little feints and players are getting, like, 3 yards of space on him. It's like, these are things where his whole kind of shtick in the team was he's the legs of the team, he's the hard worker and the runner, and he presses players down. Well, he would not get that from him. So I struggle to see what value he's adding to this team. Even the things that are kind of the staple of what he does well, he's not doing them anymore. So, I think Howe is hoping probably that he'll turn things around and he's trying to give him the chance to do that, but it's just not happening. And for me, I think we saw from Miley, I mean, I think it's Miley's ball into Murphy, isn't it? I think for the goal. And we've seen that again at Chelsea, actually, the ball into Isak early in the season from Miley. He just gives us something different. I understand he's not really a defensive midfielder, and that's the kind of the issue we've got at the minute, is we don't have a defensive midfielder, but Longstaff's not that either. It never has been. And that's kind of the issue, is that why things are getting laid bare, is we've signed all these midfielders and yet they're all like aggressive, like attacking aggressive players. So there's a little bit of kind of for the transfers things there. But yeah, for me, I think I hope we see Miley in ahead of Longstaff at some point, even if it's just to give Longstaff a break.
The next time we have a bottom half team at home, I couldn't agree more. But yeah, you can't really go to Stamford Bridge with the midfield of Willock, Bruno and Miley, because yeah, they're going to spend most of the game. That would leave a big gap. I think
it happened though anyway.
Well, yeah, but I can understand the selection of Longstaff when that's the alternative, because yeah, there are options, but the options are still quite thin. That's the problem we've got. And yeah, I don't think anyone would disagree with Longstaff coming out the team, to be honest, if there was some viable options there. But it's a real gamble playing that midfield instead. Albeit, I agree, Miley, you know, he looks like a great footballer, but we've lost loads of games with him in midfield as well. Like, it's that there are problems that we don't seem to have a solution to, because, I mean... It's a cliche, all the players that are missing become how good they are, but we've missed Joe Linton so badly in that midfield, so badly. Just someone who can break up the play and go around and smash me. He didn't even have to be that good on the ball. Joe Linton was really frustrating towards the before he got injured. He was getting really frustrating, slow moving the ball, not offering enough going forward. But my God, his role in the midfield is being highlighted so much by how little we seem to be able to just get the ball back off the other team in midfield.
And there's two issues with us conceding goals as well. I think it's there's the goalkeeper issue, of course, but there's also the midfield issue. Like, we weren't conceding goals like this last year because actually our midfield wasn't allowing it to happen as well. Like, you know, we defended as a team, and I think that's probably the biggest change I've seen in the last few months, is that we're not defending as a team anymore. Because and part of that is the personnel issue and the injuries that we've had, and you just don't have that energy. And when you're in a position where you have to play long stuff because really the options are that bare constantly, and he hasn't got someone, you know, breathing down his neck, you know, Longstaff probably was going to be the fifth or sixth choice, like, midfielder this year. And here he is having to play 90 minutes, you know, Lewis Miley playing 90 minutes after 90 minutes when we just had no one else to play. And we're now in a situation where actually he's now getting 20 or 30 minutes off the bench because he's showing that he can do it. But actually, you can't keep flogging a 17-year-old and expecting him to produce what he was producing.
Yeah, I think there are questions about selection across the whole pitch, really. And tonight there were just a collection of terrible, terrible performances. I would love to talk about Dubravka. I don't think Karius comes in ahead of Dubravka, but I just can't wait for Nick Pope to be back. I really think that that's going to be a massive boost to our season. I think that is now, they're saying that's going to be next month, when they said it was going to be March, so that might be April before we see him back. But I in the same way that Joel Linton is such a massive miss, this sort of physical presence, the sort of command that Nick Pope has and his shot-stopping ability and the ability to sort of stay on his line when he needs to stay on his line. And for the most part, I think we really, really missed that. And it was very, very obvious to me tonight. Dubravka looked sort of, it looked like he lost his head at several different points in the game. But we don't have time to get into that too much. We'll break there for part three. And we'll talk about kind of the rest of the season, how we're feeling about it and things like that. Please do consider joining us on Patreon. It's between £3 and £8 a month. We'll be back after this. Third and final part of the show, and Newcastle are now 10th. We are sitting at the very bottom of the top half of the table. And I suppose the question is, are we okay with Newcastle finishing 10th or even lower down the table now, given sort of where we are, what we've seen tonight, what we've got to come? Some fans are saying it's just now about kind of crawling to the end of this season. Just get to the end of it. We're not going to get relegated. We're not going to end in a catastrophic position. Let's just get to the end. We've got Man City on Saturday. We're probably not going to progress much further in the cup as a result of that fixture. I'm not sure that tonight's performance would have Guardiola quaking in his boots, but stranger things have happened. But I mean, the broader questions that arise from finishing 10th or lower is, are good players going to want to stay at this team or come to this team? There was an enormous anomaly when Trippier came to a team placed 19th and Bruno followed, and oh, that sort of catalyst and everything was really, really great. But seeing this sort of yo-yo-y kind of couple of seasons, or maybe this is the yo-yo season, are you okay with finishing here? You have to recalibrate, don't you, every time we play a game where you're happy with us finishing?
I do feel like we do this every week at the moment. Yeah. We go from, I think we can finish fifth, to, my God, we're probably going to finish 10th, aren't we? It's tough because the season is starting to look like a bit of a, right, let's just get to the end of it and start again. It really does feel like that. The FA Cup next week is make or break, and then the wheels absolutely come off because there'll be a big meltdown as soon as the FA Cup sort of carrot's not there anymore. It really is then what we're playing for, and we're playing for European football, obviously, still. That's still on the cards, even if we lose in the FA Cup game, and that's fine. I'm okay with that. I'm honestly comfortable with that. I think we've got to put some form together and make sure we get into Europe, because I think if we don't get into Europe and drop out of the Cup, it is that then you start worrying about, well, how long does Bruno stick around? What does Botman do? What does Isak do? You know, they're your key players. Trippier might go, but, you know, we've got Tina. That's okay. I'm okay with that one. But just, I just think we have to do something. We have to finish quite strongly this season, not to end on a real downer. But it's okay for all the reasons I talked about in the first part of the show, about the way the season's gone, all the stuff that's been thrown at us. You add to that all the off-pitch stuff, trying to change the rules to make it harder for us. Dan Ashworth, like, there's just been so many distractions and so much mental stuff's happened. This in a season where we played six ridiculous Champions League ties. All of our cup draws have been away from home, pretty much, apart from one against Man City. So it's just been such a ridiculous season. Tonali, like, the curveballs that have been thrown at us, you could not have predicted. Maybe we should have planned better with the squad. Maybe, you know, there are mistakes that have been made by the manager, certainly throughout the season, in terms of using some of those younger players earlier. It would have been, you know, it would have made a lot more sense instead of throwing them in when he had to. You know, what's happened with Tino and Lewis Hall has been a bit strange this season. So there's lots of questions have come up, but not enough for me to be really worried about where the season's going. The season, we could finish anywhere between 7th and 10th. Any of those are okay as far as I'm concerned. We've had a fun season. It's been a roller coaster. There's been some shocking moments, but there's still been some really, really big highs. And yeah, as we said before, I think the credit's in the bank to take that to the summer, rebuild the squad a bit, because we absolutely have to rebuild the squad a bit. It's clear we need to make some changes. And then see what happens next season. Give it another year and then start asking questions.
We sat around this table after Forest, and you said something then, Si, which was we go into meltdown mode almost when something goes wrong. And we may...
Every week.
Yeah, exactly.
Every other week.
And we don't need to do that every single time. And look, we're 3 points off seventh. Like, and I think, you know, yes, if we'd won tonight, we'd be seventh. Then we haven't won, we've lost, and we've got to kind of claw that back. But... you know, that for me, that still means that we're fighting for a European place in the league. And, you know, we've been joking on, you know, saying fuck the league, you know, we've still got the FA Cup to play for. Problem is we've got to go to the Etihad and get a result there, and we now probably don't have Anthony Gordon. Obviously we're waiting to hear what's going to happen with that. We're probably not going to have Kieran Trippier by then. So it's going to be tough. But we've got to give it a go, and the fact that we're in a position where we support a club that now, in you know, middle of March, is still in the FA Cup and still has a chance of finishing in Europe, compared to where we were 2 or 3 years ago. And people keep saying you can't keep looking back at what it was like and compare it, but I think you can. Like, you know, we're on a journey here. You know, we're not there yet. It's going to take some doing, but and this club will get better. But we are going to have seasons like this. Look at the season Chelsea had last year. And they look like they're going to finish mid-table again, you know, and look at what they've done in the last 10 years.
I feel like this is the season we should have had after the season we finished 11th.
Yeah.
Not, obviously, sans European football, but that's the trajectory we kind of expected it to go on, and then finish fourth and then push on. But we had that crazy season, and now we're having this much more difficult season. And there are, you know, we have talked till we're blue in the face about the mitigating factors, and you've talked about them, but... you know, the meltdown point is an interesting one, because you can say you can't have a meltdown after every game, but it's a cumulative thing now. Like, I agree with you, if it was just one shit game and we were okay and we'd, you know, we'd got a few draws and we had a few wins smacked in here and there, but it's the manner of defeat, it's the reluctance to change anything, it's the system. And I'm not saying a meltdown is warranted, because it's so dramatic, but like, I think questions are warranted. And Ben, I'll come to you on kind of the end of the season. Is the end of the season now crucial, or just a write-off, just get to it? Or is it crucial that we, I mean, Si's kind of made his point there, but how do you feel about it?
Oh, it's probably the most important period of the club's short career. No, it is, because I think, well, as you've said, the players involved, the manager, I mean, I love Eddie Howe. I want him to be successful at this club. I want him to stay as long as possible, but they need to start delivering. The things you were saying, the reason we got Trippier, we got Botman, we got Bruno, these were players that had, I mean, we sing about it, Bruno fucked off Arsenal, Botman pied Milan. They were sold a vision of a trajectory and kind of Newcastle becoming a European mainstay and us breaking into that. Obviously we did it last year and way ahead of schedule, as you say. But if we don't get European football next year, it's hard to kind of then sell that dream again to the players in terms of keeping them, especially when everyone knows how good they are now. I mean, Botman will probably get the keeper for another year, the form he's in at the minute, but In reality, though, I mean, does Isak want to stay in and play for a 10th place Premier League side?
It's worth 100 million now.
Yeah.
Maybe we cash in.
Yeah. But no. that's my point, is obviously we want these players. And I think the big thing for me is it shows the recruitment side of things hasn't been good enough really up to this point. The fact that we've basically lost the new signing Tonali, and basically it's Joe Linton going out of the team, has literally crumbled the whole way the system works. So you've then got to ask questions of, well, how have we still got this same squad, which is pretty much the side that kept us up? We haven't really done enough. And yes, you're right, it's because of other mitigating factors and stuff, but also we have spent a lot of money and they're all breaking down and getting injured. So it's hard to kind of question things, but I just think it's massively important that we get European football, because at least if we can, and I think we can, I mean, let's be honest, West Ham are crap, Brighton all over the shop, Wolves should have been getting relegated last
Chelsea
season.
Chelsea are rubbish.
Chelsea are crap. So we're capable of getting seventh. I still think we need to get a run going. We've got good enough players, but we just need to, we can't keep making mistakes, and that's the big thing. but yeah, for me, it is crucial that we get as high as we can, because ultimately we need the revenue streams. We need to be an attractive club for people to come to and want to invest in. So in order to do that, you need to be playing in European competitions and all the rest of it. So yeah, I think it's massively important that we find some form, and I back the lads to do it. I think we're capable of doing it. We just need to cut out these crap mistakes and kind of almost shoot ourselves in the foot.
Yeah, I agree. I think it is crucial. We need to correct mistakes made, change the system if we need to change the system, not be averse to that. We need to find a little bit more meaner streak. I think some of our players need to find a meaner streak. But more than that, we need to go on a bit of a run, because even if we aren't in a European spot, if we go on a run and we get very close to it, that's a sales point, isn't it, for anybody coming in over the summer. And I do think that we need to bring people in and do an overhaul in the summer, to your point earlier, Si. But there's so much more we can say, but we will have to leave it there. We will be doing a full review podcast on our Patreon platform of this game with a couple of the lads who are there. That'll be going up tomorrow in more depth than we've managed to get into today. So if you're interested, please do join us on there. It's between £3 and £8 a month. Otherwise, thanks, Si, John, and Ben, and take care. This podcast is brought to you by Aspers Casino Newcastle, home of the Mag's £4 pint, available on all draft beers for all NUFC home and televised games, 12 p.m. to 12 a.m. Over 18s only. Visit begamblerware.org. Be drink aware. For details and T's and C's, visit aspersnewcastle.co.uk.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.